from our vain ambitions worry, come to Christ to find release. Come away from noise and clamor, life's demands and frenzied pace. Come to join the people gathered here to seek and find God's grace. Come then, children, with your burdens, life's diffusions, fears, and pain.
Good morning. It is my privilege to welcome you all to our Sunday morning service. And in my mind's eye, you can all see me, of course, I kind of picture you on your couch at home. Who knows, maybe some of you still in your bathrobes or pajamas. And yet, we are together. We are one. And we are privileged to be in the presence of our great God, the one who made heaven and earth, who keeps faith forever, and he sees us wherever we are, however we may be dressed, as we lift up our hearts to him and receive his greeting, as he says, "Grace be unto you, with mercy, peace, and love, from your Father in heaven, from his Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and from the Holy Spirit." And we all can say, Amen.
Divine Majesty of Christ, whose glory shone forth even when confronted with the cross, come, let us worship the transfigured Christ.
Let's pray our prayer of confession. God of Transfiguration, you meet us in the ordinary as well as the extraordinary moments of life. We seek you in the valleys and on the mountaintops, yet we admit that too often our eyes are blind to your presence. Too often our ears are deaf to your call. When you reach out to us through the cries of the hungry and homeless, Too often our hearts drink from your touch. Forgive us, we pray, and set us free to love and to serve. Amen. Let's hear our assurance of pardon. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And all of us, with unveiled faces, seeing the glory of the Lord as though reflected in a mirror, are being transformed into the same image, from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, the Spirit. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven and transformed. Praise be to God.
As you probably have caught onto by now, this Sunday is called Transfiguration Sunday, the last Sunday before the start of the Lenten season. And traditionally, Christians around the world celebrate this, and part of the celebration is the reading of the Gospel that describes this event. I would like to turn with you to the Gospel of Luke. If you have a Bible at home, we'll read from Luke 9, the verses 28 through 36. Let us listen to the word of our Lord. About 8 days after Jesus said this, he took Peter, John, and James with him and went up onto a mountain to pray. And as he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. Two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glorious splendor, talking with Jesus. They spoke about his departure, which he was about to bring to fulfillment at Jerusalem. Peter and his companions were very sleepy, but when they became fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. As the men were leaving Jesus, Peter said to him, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He didn't know what he was saying. While he was speaking, a cloud appeared and enveloped them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. A voice came from the cloud saying, "This is my Son, whom I have chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, they found that Jesus was alone. The disciples kept this to themselves and told no one at the time what they had seen. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. May I lead you in a prayer of praise before we listen to our message. Let's bow our heads. Triune God of glory, we marvel at the splendor and majesty of Jesus, whom saints and angels, priests and prophets worship as Lord. We marvel that this Lord set his face toward Jerusalem and chose the way of suffering and death. We marvel that this way of suffering and death would become for us the way of life and hope. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how marvelous are your ways, O Lord. Surpassing all human understanding, we worship and glorify you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear people of God, this Sunday, as I mentioned already, is the last one before the Lenten season, the time of year when the church will remember the passion of the Christ, his suffering on our behalf, his death on the cross. We stand at the threshold of a new church season. And those are words that are easy to say, rolls off the tongue just like that. For us, it marks a spot on the church calendar, just like Advent, the Easter season. Now we will be in the Lenten season. Easy words, place on the calendar, but just think for a moment. For Jesus himself, Jerusalem loomed. It was time to go. Lent was not just a word. We read in verse 51 of our chapter, as the time approached for him to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. And just before and just after our passage, the verses 22 and 44, Jesus tries to tell his disciples what is about to happen, that he has to suffer many things, that he will be betrayed by sinful men, that he will be crucified, killed. But we read, his disciples did not understand what he was talking about. And more than that, they were scared to talk about it. They were afraid to ask him. They didn't have a clue. Who do you turn to for strength? When nobody understands what you're going through, when nobody really wants to talk to you about anything, who can give you comfort then? Who can encourage you? Our Lord Jesus, who later would send his comforter to his disciples, his followers, who is now going to comfort him? Jesus, as he so often did, sought the face of his Father in heaven. He, we read, goes up to a mountain to pray, to pour out his heart to the only one who knows, who understands. With his three disciples, he climbs up the mountain slope through vineyards at first, then a bit higher up through oak forests in all likelihood, till they reach the loneliest, sparsest, highest area on top, high above all the ravines that crisscross that part of northern Palestine, a majestic view of the area, high mountains on all sides, plains beyond as far as the eye can see, accompanied by a majestic quiet as evening descends, as growing darkness comes near. Jesus has come to pray, to seek the strength of his Father, his Father's comfort. And the disciples who don't understand gradually sink into a deeper and deeper sleep. And as Jesus seeks his Father's face, the Father answers. And how does the Father answer him? In a most real, a most tangible way, and a most mysterious way. As Jesus is close to the Father on this mountaintop, his divine nature, as it were, bursts through, breaks through his human nature. Glorious, radiant, divine. And in that radiance, you could catch a glimpse of what it means when Jesus said, I and the Father are one. Heavenly glory filling his frame dazzlingly. And in that moment, Jesus answers his Son by sending two messengers from heaven, Moses and Elijah, two Old Testament giants who represent the law and the prophets. For what did those two do? They speak to Jesus, and it loses something in translation. They speak to Jesus about his departure, which he is about to bring to fulfillment at Jerusalem. His departure. It is striking that the word used in the original Greek is exodus. Exodus. They speak to Jesus about his coming exodus, these two. Now, pay close attention to who are speaking here. Moses, the man who is almost synonymous with the word exodus, exodus from Egypt, an exodus from slavery, bondage, which would bring people to the promised land, to Canaan, from bondage to glory. And Elijah, here is a man who experienced the personal exodus from the world of sin to the realms of glory in a most spectacular way on a fiery chariot sent by God. These two are the ones sent by the Father to comfort his Son. These two would remind him, perhaps, of an exodus which would be far more difficult and far more glorious than their own. He would be the fulfillment of what they could only dimly view in a distant future, what they had hoped for, all they had been able to only point forward to. He, Jesus our Lord, the great Messiah, would be the great Moses, who leads his people from the bondage of sin to the freedom of the children of God. He, Jesus, far greater than Elijah, would open the door of heaven to all who trusted in him. He would enter heaven, not by himself on a cloud, but he would lead, we read in the epistle, an innumerable multitude in his train who would follow him into heaven to the glory of the Father. So Moses and Elijah speak to Jesus, comforting him, strengthening him for the task ahead, for the glory that was to come. Dear people, we have no idea, no conception. We can't begin to imagine what Jesus faced as man, perfect, sinless, pure, as he sets out toward Jerusalem and as he heads toward Good Friday. But he stayed the course. As the author of Hebrews so movingly puts it, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus, comforted by God's messengers, Moses and Elijah, stayed the course. And now I suppose that some of you might well wonder, maybe wonder out loud, that was great for Jesus. But what does it mean for me, this transfiguration story? We are not Jesus. We can have dark days too. Scary things happen in the world. Scary things happen in our life. We can live in dread of our own futures. You can fill in your own blanks. We all travel different roads, and some of us are quite frightened at times. And now just imagine if Jesus sought God's face in prayer. Jesus, the perfect one, how much more do we, sinners, imperfect people, need God's help? It's great to read in Matthew, Mark and Luke, how God answered Jesus, but how about me? How about us? We don't get a visit from Moses and Elijah, do we? I'm glad you raised that, for I've got good news for you, the greatest of good news. We get more, much more actually, than Jesus did. Find that surprising? Hard to believe? Listen, Moses and Elijah only came and went. But Jesus, the one who fulfilled the law and the prophets, Jesus said from the other side of Good Friday and Easter and Pentecost, I am with you always, always. And how does he do that? Well, he does it, among other ways, through his body, his church, his brothers and sisters, in a most real, a most tangible way, for they are called to be his hands, his feet, his presence in the world. They are the ones who may visit me when I'm in the hospital. the ones who may come to me when I'm in jail, who can feed me when I'm hungry, call me when I'm lonely, surround me with their prayers every day. Yes, even in these days. You who are listening to my voice, you sitting on your couch, sitting in your living room, you who hear these words, you are the body of Christ. You are His presence in the world, His presence to others. You may speak of His love and justice in a world where there is strife and hatred and injustice. You may put your arm around a person facing discrimination, lend your voice to those who have none. What an awesome thought that is. When comfort is needed, God wants to send you and me. Wow! It is the most beautiful way of experiencing Christ with us. How humbling. What a challenge. Who is up to that task? Who indeed? It is those who have experienced the second way in which Jesus is with us. Those who receive the wonderful blessing of the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, the greatest gift of the one who was first comforted by His Father. Jesus said, after my departure, after my exodus, I will send Him to you, and He will guide you in all truth and bring glory to me. The Comforter, Jesus' gift to all those who confess His name, His gift to all those who come to Him and say, Lord, who do we have beside You? He will guide us. He will be with us. No wonder that Paul later practically bursts into song what he writes in 2 Corinthians 1, praised be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we, in turn, can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort that we ourselves have first received from our God. What rich, rich gifts. What a treasure house. Jesus with us, His Spirit within us, and we, His love message to the world. Let's take heart then. Let's be encouraged and become more and more distributors of comfort, singing the servant song as we follow our Lord, and as we say, O God, as we are about to enter the Lenten season once again, may we once more with glad resolve and thankful hearts, in the strength of Your Holy Spirit, commit ourselves to Your service. Amen. And amen. It's my privilege to lead you in prayer. Shall we bow our heads? Dear Lord, Father of Jesus, it is again in His name that we come to you as congregation this morning. In the assurance that He gave His followers, you may ask the Father anything in my name, and He will hear you. Thank you, Lord, that we can start a new week again leaning on that wonderful promise. For when we are weak, you are strong. And when we are strong, we can return thanks to you for your boundless grace. Father, you know all the circumstances of our lives. You know the ones living at home with families, the ones living by themselves in their apartment at Holland Christian Homes. You know the ones who need assistance, and the ones who always stand ready to help others, and who volunteer week after week, including our worship team and our tech support. You know the ones, Father, who worry about health, about children, grandchildren, about what the future will bring in these often uncertain times. We remember this morning also Alice, Willie, and Dirk. And you know, Lord, the joy and strength that comes not only from pouring out our hearts to you, but from being surrounded by a community of faith, a body of believers, where each may take their turn being encouraged and being the encourager. Lord, we are all in this together, and we thank you that we're not alone, even when we are separated from each other physically, like this morning. You are Father, we family of faith, brothers and sisters. Give us grace again this week to truly be a household of faith. Will you be with our pastor Mark, with the elders and deacons? May your Holy Spirit lead us and guide us. And as we do each week and each day, we let our prayers rise up to you for the world around us. What a changes, what a turmoil all around us, what uncertainties. And it sometimes looks and feels like this world is rushing headlong to the end of times. And so we pray with redoubled fervor also today, for wisdom and insight, for those who have to make decisions for their countries, for our country, province, and city, for the encouragement and survival for small business owners in our community, for grace to those who feel stressed, for students and teachers, nurses and doctors, hospital administrators. We pray, Lord, for the rapid distribution of vaccines, for the spreading of the good news of the gospel to people who truly hunger and thirst for good news, for the proclamation of your gospel to every creature. For while it is still called day, people may hear the good news of Jesus Christ, the good news of the joy of following him, and the perspective of a new world coming where all things will have become new. No more war, no more refugees, no more tears or illness or pain, no more separation and death. Lord, we long for all that. And we would wish and pray all these things, and that many might still come to the saving knowledge of Jesus. Encourage us again on this day through your precious word. May it guide us in the week ahead, and so receive our thanks and keep us in your gentle and gracious care, and teach us to pray into our world the prayer of Saint Francis, where there is such need around us. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. so that in all things we may reflect the love and light of the body of Christ in his world. We pray it in his name. Amen. Now, I've been asked to announce our offerings as well. The second offering this week is for the support of Toronto District Christian High School. Although the task of Toronto District Christian is not evangelism, the school joins parents and church in encouraging commitment to Christ. They are educating teens for service in the light of God's Word. Will you give with generosity for this noble cause? So we have come to the conclusion of our service for this morning. I invite you to lift up your hearts to the Lord and receive his blessing. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the fellowship of God the Holy Spirit be and remain with you all. And God's people respond by saying, Amen.